1 John is right before the last book, not far from the last book in the Bible, Revelation. Aren't you enjoying Revelation?
Yes.
We're reading through the New Testament this year. We read a chapter a day, Monday through Friday. The bookmark that has these chapters laid out is on our website. It's also on our app. So if you're interested in jumping in with us, we've got about two more weeks to go and we'll finish the book of Revelation. Aren't you glad the book of Revelation ends well? I've read the end of the story. It all ends well, trust me, right? Through the red dragons and the bowls and the plagues and the locusts and everything, it all ends well. Amen, trust me. It's a happy ending. Amen. You know, sometimes my wife will say, you know, years ago we used to watch a fair amount of movies and I'd pick out a movie and I'd say, hey, I got this movie I want to watch. And she'd always ask me, does it end good? Right? Don't want a sad ending. Don't want a tragic ending. Every movie that's a good movie always has to end well. I'm telling you, history ends well. In Jesus. Amen. The book of Revelation ends well. Praise the Lord. Are you there in 1 John? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you to give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit will apply this word to our life specifically, personally, exactly what we need to hear today. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You lead us in truth and you give us the answers we're seeking from God. You give us the supply that we need in terms of wisdom and guidance for our lives. Through the word of God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about moving mountains. You remember last year at the end of the year, we talked quite a bit about moving mountains. We've been talking about, we talked a little bit about grace last week. You know, and speaking of Revelation, talking about our future, heaven, you know, sometimes people ask or make the statement, they say, well, won't it be great when the devil's finally defeated? You know, because if you read in Revelation, it says there toward the end, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. You know, there'll be no sickness, no pain, no death, no more tears. I want to tell you something. You can have all that right now.
Right.
You don't have to wait till the end.
That's right.
Amen. In the kingdom of God, we have every bit of that now available to us, minus the death part, right? We know that it's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to have to check out of this world somehow. Amen. But in the new covenant, we understand that death is no more referred to as death. The believers in the New Testament referred to it as sleep because Jesus defeated death. Amen. You don't have to be afraid of dying. You don't have to be afraid of death. As believers, and we've heard testimonies of people who have gone through the portal, so to say. It wasn't their time to die yet, so the Lord enabled them to come back. So their spirit crossed over. And many times you'll hear these testimonies that people didn't even feel the pain as they step from this life to the next. I'm telling you, for believers, it's like falling asleep. You don't hurt when you fall asleep, do you? Last I checked, I don't hurt. It feels good. I like to fall asleep when I'm you know, ready for bed. It's a good feeling. And that's the way death will be for the believer. Amen? But you can have all those things now in this life. Do you believe it?
Yes.
You don't have to. You know, I'm talking about in your personal life, your personal experience. You can live without sickness.
That's right.
You can live without pain.
Amen.
Now, sorrowful things will happen in this life. Things that would try to make us cry, make us shed a tear, either emotionally or physically. But you know, we can give those sorrows to Jesus. Amen. Do you believe it? You can give those sorrows to Jesus. So even the tears don't have to fall as bad in this life. Amen. Mm-hmm. Tears, he can wipe away every tears now.
Yes.
Amen. You can receive the comfort of the Holy Ghost now.
Amen.
While things are being worked out in this life. Amen. Those things are readily available to us. And that's what John talks about here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Let's look at it together. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. I don't know how I forgot it, but this is Texas Day. So let me pause for a moment and say a little bit about Texas. Because if you look around the room, many more are wearing blue jeans than normally wear blue jeans on Sunday. So let's unplug from the message just for here a moment. I want to tell you, do you know where the word Texas comes from? Tejas, that's right. It was an Indian word back in the day, and it meant friendly. Some of you have studied it. Friendly. Which is why years ago, when Terry and I moved to the northern part of the United States, we only stayed there about a year. And we said, we're going back to where things are
friendly.
We love Texas. Amen. So that's what we're celebrating today. All right, let's get back into the word. 1 John 5:4. What does it say? Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even our faith. Now, there's two parts to this verse. I want you to see it here. Let's just kind of pause and break it down a little bit. The Bible says here in 1 John 5:4 that the new birth positions us as overcomers. You may not feel like a winner, but this verse tells us that because of who you are, not what you're able to do, but because of who you've become after accepting Jesus in your life, you become a new creation, the Bible says. We call it being born again. And it says here that whosoever or whatsoever is born of God or born again has already overcome the world. Amen. That's a given. That comes through grace. That comes through the new birth. But notice the end of the verse. And this is the victory. What is the victory that overcomes? Our faith. See, we have a part to play. Jesus has done all this amazing work for us at Calvary, but we still have a part to play. And what is our part? Faith. Amen. Faith. We have to believe. He's made us overcomers. Do you believe it?
Yes.
You are an overcomer, whether you feel like it or not. You may feel like a loser today, but I'm telling you, you're an overcomer. Why? Because you're born of God. You've got the overcomer in you. His name is Jesus. Amen. And he overcame. He said in the Gospel of John, John 16:33, he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, it seems odd when you read that verse and you think, well, he's just talking about himself. How does that do me any good if he says he has overcome the world? Because his victory is our victory. Amen. He has overcome the world. He is the David in the story of David and Goliath. That's Jesus fighting the giant for us. You don't have to fight the giants in your life. Did you know that? You just receive his victory. Let me say that again so it sinks in. There's a verse in Luke that says, the word of God is meant to sink down into our hearts. I want you to hear that again. You don't have to overcome in your own strength. Amen? You just receive his victory. He is your victory. He is your overcoming. Some of you have tried and tried and tried. You know, a drowning man, you can't save a drowning man until what? He gives up. Because why? You get near a person that's drowning, they say that, I've never tried it, but they say they'll flail, right? They'll swing at you. They might even punch you in the face while you're trying to save them. But once their strength is worn out and they start to go under, that's when the lifeguard takes them, right? My daughter was a lifeguard for a while. She knows. And so if you're trying to overcome an addiction, a habit, or whatever, it's time for you to stop trying. And trusting. Start trusting. Amen?
Yeah.
Start trusting.
That's right.
Give that thing to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I can't, but you did.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus was in the wilderness, I'm preaching now, so just open up your heart. This is the anointed preaching. When Jesus was in the wilderness, and Satan tempted him with all three things, the lust of the flesh, what was that? Hunger. He said, turn this rock into bread. Would it have been legal for Jesus to turn that rock into bread? Yes. It would have been perfectly okay. Because there was no food around him. There was no stop and go. There was no HEB. There was nothing around him. No Walmart. It would have been perfectly legal for him to do so. But in the context of the devil's temptation, it would have broken something. You understand? It was a temptation for evil. But he would have been perfectly legitimate in turning that rock to bread. He was hungry. It was the lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh. He said, he spread out the kingdoms of the earth before him. He said, I'll give you all these if you'll worship me. What is that? That's the lust of the eyes. It's the desire for the things of this world. So Satan tempted him in the area of the lust of the eyes. He said, jump off the temple and kill yourself. What is this? It's the pride of life. Look what I can do. Boom. Jump off the temple and the angels would have supposedly caught him. Well, is there a promise in the Bible that says the angels will bear us up in their hands? Yes, indeed. But it would have been pride for him to do so. In that wilderness experience, Jesus conquered the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's nothing you and I will ever face outside of those three in the way of sin or temptation. Are you with me? Everything you and I will encounter in the way of conflict in this life can be summed up in one of those three categories. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And Jesus won them all.
Hallelujah.
And he said, my triumph is your triumph. He said in Revelation chapter 3 to the Laodicean church, the church that he said he'll spew out of his mouth if they don't get hot, right? He called them lukewarm. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And he said this, he said, but for those who overcome, they will sit on my throne just as I overcame. That phrase, just as, is very important. That's part of the new covenant. Just as. Say, just as.
Just as.
Just as Jesus overcame in the wilderness, you and I have overcome.
Amen.
What? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. You may not feel like it. You may not feel like it today like you've beat in those areas. But I'm telling you, in Jesus you have. Amen? This is the good news. And 1 John 5:4 declares it in a real simple way. John was so childlike. A child could read this book, 1 John, and get it. It's not complicated. You've been born of God, you're an overcomer, he says, right? And this is how you do it. This is how we overcome. Our faith. Say it. Our faith. Your faith. You have a part to play. And what is that? Exercise your faith. What did the Holy Ghost tell us at the beginning of 2024? He said, I want you to build your faith and exercise your faith this year. Amen? It's just like a guy going down to the gym. What does he do? He lifts weights and he exercises those muscles, right? He pushes them to the limit. He builds the muscles. He uses the muscles. That's what the Lord wants from us in 2024. Build your faith. Use your faith. How do you use your faith? By what you say. By what you say. You speak. You declare your faith. Amen? Faith's not faith until you say something. Right? It's like having a gun in your holster. Anybody bring a six shooter in here with you today as part of your get up? Any spurs? Did anybody bring spurs? Anybody wearing spurs? I don't hear any jingle, jangle, jingle. Anybody wear a bolo even? Oh, come on. We got to get a little more Texan around here next year. Are you wearing a bolo, Bros? No? No. Okay. This is your sunglasses. Okay. Gotcha. All right, y'all, now we're going to try this again next year. I told my wife, I said, this is so fun. I think we should do it for once a month. She said, don't get carried away. But next year, when we come around to Texas Day, I want to hear some spurs. I want to see a bolo or two, right? And maybe even a hat. Nobody even wore a hat. Did you bring a hat?
I left
on the table. Okay, all right. Good, there's a true Texan right there. He was ready with his hat. Huh?
He has a bolo.
You have a bolo? All right. Okay. All right. Next year. Next year. I'm going to be watching for it. Oh, that's funny. Praise the Lord. Where was I? This is the New Testament pattern we see over and over again. Grace is given. Faith takes the grace. Grace has been given. Faith takes the grace. In the Old Testament, it's the equivalent of this idea. God told the children of Israel regarding Canaan, the promised land, right? He said, I've given it to you, now possess it.
Yeah.
That's the Old Testament equivalent. Let me say that again. In the New Testament is, grace is given and faith takes it. Right? Grace is given, but faith must take it. In the Old Testament, he said, I have given it, now possess it.
Amen.
I've given it. Now possess it. Amen?
That's right.
Do I need to repeat it? Oh, okay. That's the truth. That's what they said in the Old Testament. God said, I've given it to you. Now you possess it. Amen. Amen. Now, let me make a note of this. Not everything that's given is received. Not everything that's been given is received. Why? Because not everybody believes. What did Isaiah say in Isaiah 53:1? Lord, who has believed our report? This thing is so powerful. This thing is so amazing. And yet it's almost incredulous. The gospel is almost too good to be true. You know, in this world, something, if it's too good to be true, what do we usually say? It isn't, right? Too good to be true? It probably isn't. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. Unthinkable. Unthinkable grace, mercy. That whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, the key part there is believing, right?
Yeah.
So God has put something on the table. He's put salvation on the table, but not everything that's been given has been received. We know from what's written in the Bible, there will be some people who reject Jesus, because we read in the book of Revelation at the end, there will be people who are judged whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, right? And they will go into eternal damnation. That's a very true reality. Hell is real.
That's right.
You don't want to go there.
Amen.
It wasn't created for you.
Amen.
Hell was created to torment who? The fallen angels and the devil. That's what the word tells us. It was created for the devil and his angels. It was never intended for one human soul to go there. But we know that from what we read in the Bible, there will be people who what? Choose not to believe. They don't take what's been laid on the table. So not everything that's given has been received. John 1:16, would you turn there, please? John 1:16. This is the same John that wrote 1 John, but this is the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 1:16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Isn't that a wonderful verse?
Yes.
Another translation says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another, after another. Amen? I like to say it this way, grace upon grace upon grace.
Yes.
Isn't that a great thing?
Yes.
Because of his fullness, because of who Jesus is, the Bible says, we have all received grace upon grace upon grace. What does that mean? You know, every answered prayer, no matter how big or small, is an expression of this verse right here, John 1:16. It's an outflow. It's a reality of this verse. We have received one blessing after another, after another. Can you testify to that?
Yes.
Do you have a prayer life? You pray about things?
Yeah.
Have you received one blessing after another, after another? What is that? That's grace. You don't deserve that. But we believe that because of what Jesus did at Calvary and his resurrection from the dead, we have all received one grace gift after another, after another, after another. It just flows. Amen? Because of what Jesus did, there's an unending stream that's been released. And it's called grace. Aren't you glad for grace?
Yes. Amen.
There's a contemporary Christian song that says, of the grace that is greater than all our sin, when justice was served and mercy win. I love that phrase, when justice was served. Did you know your justice was served at Calvary? All the punishment that was due you and I was received by Jesus at Calvary. Justice was served, right? You know, when we hear about somebody who does a heinous crime in the public arena and they get arrested and they get tried and they get the right verdict, right? The jury gets it right or the judge gets it right. What do we say in our hearts, or what do we say as we're watching it on the news in our living room? We say, justice was served. Be careful how you throw that phrase around, though, when it comes to other people. Because in your case, justice wasn't served on you.
Amen.
It was served upon Jesus. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Justice was served, but not on you.
That's right.
Why? Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. If we had received what was coming to us, we would have all been dead for eternity in hell. Amen? But justice was served upon Jesus. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's a wonderful word, by the way, hallelujah. In that word is contained Yah, J-A-H, at the end of it, which is short for Jehovah.
That's right.
The word Jehovah comes from the word Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Another way to say it is Yahweh. Yahweh. It's another name for Jesus. Yud Heh Vav Heh are the four Hebrew consonant letters that mean, behold the hand, behold the nail. It's a picture of Jesus. So when you don't think of hallelujah as a loose term. You know, the world kind of mocks it. Hallelujah. You know, they mock our, that's our word.
Amen.
It's holy.
That's right.
It means praise Jesus.
Yes.
Praise the one who took the nail in his hand.
Right.
So when you say hallelujah, you're giving thanks to Jesus. The one who justice was served on your behalf. Amen? You know, every time I see 5:55 on the digital clock, it reminds me of John 1:16. Grace upon grace upon grace. 5:55, whether it's p.m. or a.m. One day this last week, my dogs got me up at 5:55 a.m. I thank the Lord. I saw the big glaring digital clock, 5:55. Grace upon grace upon grace. The other evening, we were having a conversation in our sitting area in our master bedroom, and over there was that digital clock, and it just happened to be near 6 p.m. It was 5:55 p.m., and I said to myself, grace upon grace upon grace, John 1:16, amen. That's a great time of day, 5:55. Every time you see it, don't forget that, John 1:16, and of his fullness have we received grace upon grace upon grace. Five is the number of grace because in the story of Noah, it's the fifth mention of the word Noah. Now, you can check me on this. I checked myself on it last night. So it's the fifth mention. The fifth time that the Bible mentions the name Noah, it says this in Genesis 6:8. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace. Five is also the fifth Hebrew letter in the alphabet. The fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet is the letter He, not spelled H-E-Y, but H-E-H. H-E-H. It's pronounced like what we say, hey, H-E-Y. And what does hey mean? Well, the name Abram was changed to Abra. God put an H in there. He put a hey in Abraham's name. And what happened? In his old age, he was able to produce children. Amen. The miracle power of God. The miracle grace of God through the Hebrew letter H, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Amen. That's why five is the number of grace. Aren't you glad for grace?
Yes.
That's what we're here today celebrating, amen. Not just Texas, but the grace of God, amen. I think there might even be a, is there a Western song that says? Well, it might say, God bless Texas. I'm thinking of something else. Never mind. I'm sure Texas is associated with grace somehow. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to try to land this ship here. Hebrews 13:9. Or park this horse. When I worked for Steinway years ago, we did a tour in New York. It was really quite cool because they have some of the old brick buildings where they build the Steinway pianos. And it's amazing because these buildings are as old as the company itself. And so outside some of the office doors, you'll see these rings that are mortised into the brick building. That's where the guys would tie up their horses when they came to work each day. That was so cool when I saw those little rings. Hebrews 13:9. Yeehaw. All right, Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established with what? Grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Sometimes the King James gets a bit tongue-tied, so I'll have Alan put it up in the NLT. Hebrews 13:9 in the New Living Translation says it this way. Don't be attracted by strange new ideas. Did you know there's always some strange new idea floating around in the Christian world? Amen? That's why a local church is good for you. A local church provides structure, safety, and support.
Amen.
Structure, safety, and support. Say it with me. Structure, safety, and support. Amen. If I get off track, y'all quit coming. Right? A local church by design, it's like it's got its own built-in checks and balances. It provides safety. Amen. A place to hear the word of God in truth week after week after week. What does that do? It saves you. As you hear the word over and over again, it saves you in your soul. It provides support. What do I mean by support? Listen, you may not have ever raised kids before, but when you hang out in the local church, you'll see how other people do it. That's support to you. Amen? You may have not have had parents that modeled well for you how to parent. Listen, you hang around the body of Christ long enough, you watch other people and watch their lives, you'll have the support you need. Amen? It's right here in the local church. Amen? And what else did I say? Safety, support. And structure. Yeah, I'm sorry. The structure is what I meant about parenting. Yeah, structure is here. Amen. You can watch people's lives. You can watch people's lives modeled before you. And structure will guide you in the areas that you're weak in. Amen. And then there's safety and there's support. Amen. Prayer, support, good things in the local church. But that's not what we're talking about today. Hebrews 13:9. Look at it here. Don't be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from what? God's grace. Not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. What that verse means is this. Don't drop your water. It means this. The goodness of God comes to us not based on what we have done right, but what Jesus has done right. When it talks about foods there, it's saying, you know, it was very customary in the Jewish world. I mean, everything was about keeping the rules, right? Can't eat pork, can't eat crow, can't eat this, can't eat that, shrimp. Oh, I'm so glad I'm a Gentile. You know, everything was about what you did right in order to be good before God. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying here, he's saying, it's not about what you do right. It's about what Jesus did right for you.
Right.
It's good that the heart be strengthened by God's grace. And listen, grace is best defined or best appreciated and understood when we are least deserving. Are you with me? So in your weakest moment, when you feel the sorriest about yourself, you are the most qualified for the rivers of heaven to be poured out upon you as never before. Amen. I love that song we sing. Get ready. What he's ready to pour out on you is like nothing you've ever seen. Something like that. And I'm telling you, folks, when you are least deserving, the grace of God is here for you. The grace of God is here for you. Isn't it wonderful? The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, would you turn there real quick, a couple books to the right there, 2 Peter 3:18. Can you turn my mic down just a hair, just a little bit, please, Lord? Thank you. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter the Apostle writes, he says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. This is what the Lord's having us do lately. And that's why I'm preaching on it, because he wants you to grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What does it mean to grow in grace? How do we do that? You know, there are commands in the Bible, and it's good for us now and then to stop and really ask the practical. Oh, that's too much. Give me a little bit more. Sorry. Give me a little. It's good for us to ask, how do I do that? Don't read the Bible and just gloss over a verse like that and say, okay, I'll grow in grace. But how do I do that? Ask the question. Go ahead and ask the question. It's all right to ask the question when you read the Bible. How do I grow in grace? Well, we grow in grace in two ways. We find out what's been given to us. That's very practical, isn't it? How do you find out what's been given to you? You're already doing it. Looks like you're looking down in your book. You read the Bible, right? This is how we grow in grace. Every time you pick up the Bible, your eyes are falling on words that tell you all that God has given you in Christ Jesus. That's growing in grace. And how else do you grow in grace? Well, you develop the skill in taking hold of it. How do we take hold of grace? It's real simple. A child could get this. You can't miss it. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth.
That's right.
Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. That's how you grow in grace. You start reading promises like in Philippians, where Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And so you say in your heart, you say, Lord, I've always just been on get by street, living paycheck to paycheck, just getting by. But I'm believing you're going to supply my needs, not in just a get by kind of matter, but in accordance with your riches in glory.
Yes.
What do riches mean? It means you're amply supplied.
Amen.
You're running over.
Amen.
You got enough to give others. Amen. We call that generous able. That's how we define rich in this church. Rich is not tied to a dollar amount. Rich is tied to a condition in which your needs are met and you can meet the needs of others. Amen. And you do that all along the way while you're growing from poverty on up to wealth in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You may only be able to pay somebody's toll behind you. You're on the beltway there and you drive up to the booth. I don't know if anybody does this anymore. I use a tag, but some people drive up and you pay the lady, what, $3 or $4? What is it nowadays? $3? Goodness. I use the tag. Anyways, you pay the lady $3 and you have an extra $3 in your wallet. That's all you got extra, $3. So you look at the car behind you. You never met that person before, but you say, I'll take care of theirs too. And you drive on, but you don't go too fast. You go about 50 yards out and you look in your rearview mirror and that person's going, I don't know them. What? And the lady's just waving them on. It's already paid for. Go. And you just get that rush of delight for giving to some total stranger that you never met before and they don't deserve anything from you. But that's called grace. Amen. That's called being rich. It's called being generous. Amen. Generous able. That's what God calls all of us to. But Peter says here, grow in grace. Grow in grace. And let me say this about grace and faith, because these two combine together. That's the name of my message today, by the way, grace and faith. Faith is not manipulating God to give you something. That's not what faith is.
Yeah.
Faith is not you and I pressuring God, putting enough pressure on heaven to where God goes, okay, you twisted my arm. No, that's not faith. Faith is receiving with a glad heart, a grateful heart, what God has already given. Did you get that? Listen, if God hadn't already offered it to you, if he hadn't already given it to you in Christ Jesus in the atonement, you'd have no basis on which to build your faith to receive that thing.
That's right.
But if he said in this book, by my stripes you are healed, mm-hmm. then we could take that promise to him and say, I'm taking healing.
Amen.
It's mine. I've taken it by faith. Why? Because he promised it. He promised it. Amen?
Amen.
That's what faith is. Faith is receiving what God's already given.
Amen.
Now you're in 2 Peter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, turn over chapter 1, same book, 2 Peter 1. I'm going to wrap up on this idea here. I just didn't tell you how many layers I'm going to wrap it up, right? I might be here till 3 o'clock wrapping it up. No, I'm kidding. We're going to wrap up with this idea here. Look at 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a long intro, but that's the way these guys did it. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Amen. God wants to multiply grace unto you in 2024. Amen. Aren't you glad God's not just an addition God? He's a multiplier. Amen. So I receive that. I don't know about you, but I receive that right now. And I'm receiving multiplied grace in 2024. And through the knowledge of God, how does grace come to us? How does it get multiplied to us? Through knowledge. Through knowledge. God said, my people die because of lack of knowledge. Amen.
That's right.
That's an Old Testament verse. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But he says here, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, say all things,
all things
that pertain unto life and godliness, yes, through the knowledge, there's that word again, knowledge, you've got to know what's yours.
That's right.
This is a last will and testament. A man died for you. He wrote down your last will and testament, every promise in this book, and then he ascended to heaven to make it good. Amen?
Amen.
Through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. You know, your finances aren't just called to be get by or even pretty good. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're called to glory.
Amen.
Yep.
Now, again, I didn't put a dollar on that. I didn't put a dollar amount on that. But the reality is in every area of our life, our family life's not called to just be a pretty good family. We only fight on the weekends. No. We're called to glory.
Amen.
I say we're called to glory.
Yes.
Your finances are called to glory.
That's right.
Your home life is called to glory. Your marriage is called to glory.
Amen.
That's what that verse is saying. He has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, say by these.
By these.
What did I say just a moment ago? How do we grow in grace? By these. By promises. By these great and precious promises, you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or evil desires. Peter said it here. He said his divine power, verse 3, has given us all things. Say all things.
All things.
You know, the Apostle Paul said that phrase as well. He told the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, mind you. Chapter 2, verse 31 and 32. He said, no more quibbling, no more fighting about which church leader you tie into, which church leader you identify with, whether Peter or myself or Apollos. He said, all things are yours.
That's right.
The fivefold ministry has been given to you, Corinthian church. Mm-hmm. Every man of God, every gift that's been given in the fivefold ministry has been given to you to be a blessing to you. He said, all things are yours. So listen, when you pick a favorite preacher, a radio preacher, TV preacher, or a teacher outside, I'm talking about outside me, the pastor teacher, don't pick it like I'm with this camp and I'm with this camp. Listen, they're all yours. They're given to you as a gift to the body of Christ. Joyce Myers is a gift to ladies in the body, and even men in the body of Christ. I mean, she's a gift. You don't say I'm in this camp or in that camp. You're in there, everybody's camp. All things are yours.
Yep.
Amen. They're all given to you. In fact, I find that the times I'm most needy, and I'll turn on a Christian television station, and there's that guy that I normally don't listen to because there's just something about his hair or something about his accent or just something about him I don't like. In that moment, God could speak to me the most from the person I like the least. Why? Because all things are mine.
That's right.
Listen, don't cut any preacher out of your listening spectrum, unless they're in deceit, of course, and if they're in error. But listen, all gifts in the body of Christ have been given to you and I to be blessed to the fullest. Amen? We're to be blessed to the fullest. And that's what Paul was saying. You know, it's interesting that he said that to the Corinthian church. When you look at the Corinthian church, they were an interesting bunch. He wrote letters to Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica, all those regions there in Turkey. Most of them are in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. And he wrote letters to all those churches, but he wrote a really long letter to the Corinthian church. It's one of the biggest books Paul wrote. And yet, what were they known for? I just made a brief list here. They were known for quarreling, for party splits. Again, people saying, I'm of this camp and you're of that camp. Paul said, that's not right. They were actually having lawsuits among each other. Can you imagine? Al, I promise I'll never sue you. But in the Corinthian church, people were suing one another. They were known for sexual misconduct. Paul had to do a lot of correcting. Spent a good deal of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians lining out sexual misconduct. Drunkenness while they were at the communion table. No doubt. No less. And yet what? The Corinthian church was best known as the gifted church. The gifted church. Where do we find the greatest teachings from Paul on the gifts of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. The Corinthian church, of all places, this bunch. And Paul said, y'all have been gifted the most. So here, let me teach you a little bit about how to operate in those spiritual gifts. What was he saying? You who deserve it the least are the most gifted. That's grace, folks. That's grace. That's grace. Grace comes to us when we least deserve it. Next time you're feeling the most down, like the bottom of the barrel and under the barrel, just look up to heaven and say, of your fullness, I receive grace upon grace. It's not even 555, but I'm going to receive it right now. Grace upon grace upon grace. Because that's the heart of Jesus. Amen. That's who he is. That's who he is. Listen, when Father exhausted his anger at the cross, you might say it this way, Dad's let his temper fly, but he's happy now. But he let it fly on Jesus. Like I said earlier, justice was served. Your justice was served upon Jesus at the cross. God's not angry anymore at you. It's all grace from here down. Amen? It's a downhill slide to heaven with just grace being poured upon us over and over and over again. Romans 8:32. One last verse. Would you look there with me? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And we'll wind up with this. Peter said, all things have been given that pertain to life and godliness. Paul said it here as well in Romans 8:32. Why don't you stand together with me as we read this last verse. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. All things. Listen, I'm telling you, Jesus is the greatest gift. Everything else is a lesser blessing. You need a new car? That's a much lesser blessing than the Son of God. If God gave you this, his only beloved Son, you think a new car is a big deal for God, for you? No. Just reach out and take it by faith. What did he say there? He has given us freely. Not just all. Freely. Do you see that word freely? I mean, there's no hesitation on God's part. If you're his child, he gives you freely. Isn't it nice if you know a parent or a friend, and you know you can go up to him and say, hey, can I have such and such? And you just know their demeanor is, they're always willing to do it. That's what it's saying there. God's always willing to do it. He freely gives us all things. Amen. Amen. Remember, not everything given is received. It must be taken by faith, just like salvation. Just like we said about John 3:16. Hebrews 11:11 says, Sarah seized the promise. That's bulldog determination right there. Sarah seized the promise. She laid hold of that which God promised her. What? I'll give you a child. She laid hold of it and would not let go. And what happened? She gave birth at age 90 to Isaac. Amen. The impossible. Amen? You know, sometimes Satan knows the line. He knows our limit. He knows, if he can push us this far, he's got us. Right? Because we say, well, I'll confess the word to this point, but if that pain grows in my body, if I feel that pain to this degree, I'm going to start questioning the word of God. Satan knows where your line is, right? Yeah. He'll push you right up to that line, the quitting point. That's right. You got to be more determined.
Amen.
You got to, as they say, move outside the envelope, right? That's the victory place. When you say, I won't have anything less than 100% health in my body. Nothing less. I'm working through personally right now some healings in minor areas of my body, and I've got just a little tinge of what was. I'm not going to live with the little tinge.
That's right.
Why? Because Jesus paid the price for all of it.
That's
all
right.
Things. Yes. Amen. All health.
Mm-hmm.
Total health.
Yep.
I'll take nothing less. Amen. Are you that determined?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32. I love that verse. It's such a glorious verse. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? All things are yours, saints. It's all on the table. Your faith is required to take it. Your faith is required. Believe in your heart the promise and confess with your mouth. That's the taking. Amen? Let's bow in prayer for just a moment. Father, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for revealing to us all that you've given us in Christ Jesus. Oh, we've just scratched the tip of the iceberg today, Father. There's much more to say about your grace. It's amazing. That's why we sing about it. Amazing grace. It's amazing. And we thank you for that grace abounding right now. I thank you that in this room, in this moment, the Holy Spirit is pouring out his grace upon people's lives. In the areas we deserve you the least, Lord, you're there for us. That's who you are. That's your heart. We receive that grace. We take it by faith today in the areas of our greatest need. We thank you, Lord, for touching us. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Scott, I'm not a Christian. I've never given my life, never surrendered my life to Jesus. I'm convicted today. I know I'm a sinner. I know if I died right now, I'd go straight to hell. And you need to be saved. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Don't wait. You're not guaranteed walking out these doors that you'll live outside that parking lot. None of us is guaranteed the next breath. You say, that's me, Pastor Scott. I'm not a Christian. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender to him today. Would you raise your hand right now? I want to pray a prayer with you in just a moment. We're going to pray together this prayer. I'm not going to embarrass anybody here, but we're going to pray a prayer out loud together to surrender our hearts to Jesus. Amen. So that you can leave here in salvation. Amen. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You say, Pastor Scott, I'm not a Christian, or I've been a Christian before, but today I'm in church and I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've been away from God. I want to return to Jesus. I want to give my life afresh to him. If that's you, you say, I've been a Christian before, but I'm in a backslidden state. I'm in a state of out of fellowship, and I want to come back to the Lord today. Anybody at all, just raise your hand, and we're going to pray a prayer together to see you restored to life. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. Oh, what grace. Thank you for your salvation. Given on Calvary. I believe Jesus was your son, sent to die for me. That he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. He ascended to heaven, and he is seated now at your right hand of favor. I believe that through Jesus, I'm made your child today. I receive you, Jesus, as the sacrifice for my sins. Save me today, Lord. Restore my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, please tell somebody before you leave. Tell an usher. Tell myself, my wife. Tell somebody here in the room. Say, I just gave my life to Jesus today. It's important that you confess what you believe. It's important because faith is not faith until we release it through what we say. Amen? Amen. So be sure and tell somebody today. Go home, read your Bible. The Bible tells you everything that's yours now that you are in Christ. This book is a book that tells you everything that God offers you as his child. Amen. Every good promise in here is for you. And then come back and see us again next Sunday. We'll have more teaching of the Word of God, more about Jesus for you to grow by. Amen. There's a wonderful church here, people that will support you, people that will walk through this journey of faith with you and pray for you. Amen. We support one another. We love each other here. We don't gossip. There's nobody here that's allowed to gossip about the other. Amen. Or talk bad about the other. This is not that kind of church. This is a church where we're a family. We love one another, and we will love you and strengthen you in the things of God. Amen. So tell somebody before you leave today, say, I gave my life to Jesus, and I'm starting a new life today. Amen. The grace of God be with you. And as John said in 3 John 2, I just want to say this over you. May you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers this week in Jesus. Amen. God bless you.